You know, we've talked about change lives all through this series, and we've talked about a lot of different people. But folks, I want you to stop and think about Paul this morning. Paul was Saul. He was of the Jewish belief. They did not believe in Jesus. There was a new movement that had started, and it was pretty much what they talked about as being the way. And this movement that people would follow that was the way, and they would chain them. They would come and arrest them and chain them and take them. And as Brian talked about last week, Stephen, we know what happened. They stoned him to death. And probably Saul was there at the stoning of Stephen. So we see that Saul, he would chain you and arrest you and chain you and take you, and then you would end up somewhere in a pit with people throwing stones on you till you died. Maybe different ways that they killed the ones that believed. But folks, this was very, very serious. And Paul, he was on a mission. He was going from place to place to place, and he wanted to stop this belief in Jesus. And so we know that he was working toward this to have the Jewish faith and that be the only one. And so we see that he's on this road to Damascus, and he's doing his own thing. He's probably on a horse or a mule or a donkey, and all at once, here comes this light. And of course, we know the story of how it blinded him and how he come to know. But I want you to, before we read the scripture this morning, I want you to stop and I want you to think about what we're just talking about. Paul's intention was to go around all over the different places and chain the believers and have them persecuted, have them killed. That was his mission. But what happened? And folks, this is as real as anything ever has been. It's as real as Jesus rising from the dead on the third day. It's real because Jesus had already ascended. But he met Paul on the road. And he met Paul for real. And I want you to think about that. Paul was chaining up people to stop them from believing in Jesus. And Jesus came and chained up Paul and talked to him pretty straightforward. And how did he chain him up? He blinded him. For how many days? 3 days. Does that ring a bell with anybody? Jonah, Paul, Jesus. 3 days, folks. You find it all throughout the Bible. So this morning, as we stop and take a look at Paul, I want us to think about how a lot of times we think we're doing what we are supposed to be doing. And what happens is God moves in and he gives us an entirely different direction, his direction, not our direction. So think about this morning as we read the scripture in Acts, the 9th chapter. Acts, the 9th chapter, 1 through 21. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, but both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. And as he was approaching Damascus on the mission, the light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. And he fell to the ground and he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. And the voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, "Ananias?" "Yes," he replied. The Lord said, "Go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas, and when you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again." "But Lord," explained Ananias, "I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. And he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. But the Lord said, 'Go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings, as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake.' So Ananias went and he found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said," listen to this, "'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. Afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength. Saul stayed with the believers in Damascus for a few days, and immediately he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogue, saying, 'He is indeed the Son of God.' All who heard him were amazed. 'Isn't this the same man who caused such devastation among Jesus' followers in Jerusalem?' they asked. 'And didn't he come here to arrest them and take them in chains to the leading priest?'" This is reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, as we see this conversion of Paul, and we know that Paul was on this mission, and he really and truly felt like that this was what he was supposed to be doing, was persecuting the believers and that were following what they called the way at that time. And so we see that Paul, believing that he is doing right, he's on his way on the Damascus Road, and Jesus appears to him, like we were just saying. And as he appears to Paul with this great light, I'm sure it startled the horse or the mule or whatever it was, and he dropped Paul on the ground, and everyone was on the ground. But the amazing thing, folks, to me in this scripture is Paul spoke to Jesus. Jesus answered Paul, and Paul saw Jesus. He knew who it was. He knew it was the Lord. But this, as we take a look at where we're at right here, when the people are here on the ground with Paul, only Paul recognizes Jesus. They're right there with him. Everything's happening. It's happening. They heard the voice. They heard it all happening. But Paul is the only one that responded. They helped Paul get back to town, get settled in. But they didn't respond. It doesn't say a thing about those guys that was with him responding. So it makes you stop and think about our church today. It makes you stop and think about Christians today. We know that we all hear the word. We hear the word all the time, in different places, on TV. We're always hearing someone preaching the word. And so we're hearing it. And then how many do you hear that actually respond? There's sometimes it goes for a while before we hear anyone responding. Anyone that is stepping up and accepting Christ as their Lord and Savior. Anyone who desires to know more about Christ. We hear it. It works inside us, but yet we do nothing about it. And that's where the people that were with Paul, they heard Jesus' voice. It worked inside them. They wondered, but they done nothing about it. But Paul had this, he was blind. He had these scale-like things on his eyes. And so they take him back to town to the house, and he tells Ananias, you need to go and touch Paul and heal Saul. And that's before he was Paul at this time. And you need to touch him and heal him. And Ananias said, Lord, have you heard the things that he's done to these people? This guy's mean. This guy's crazy. He's a bad dude. I'm not really looking forward to going and laying my hands upon him. And I mean, you know, I'd be about like Ananias. I said, you know, I don't know what we're going to be getting into when we get there. This might not be good. And you would question whether the Lord was actually saying something to you. I truly believe that Ananias had had God speak to him before, because he responded in a way that when he heard the Lord's voice, that he answered like, okay, Lord, what do you need? And when he says, go to Paul and heal Paul. So Ananias had to step out on a step of faith, folks. You know, you stop and you think about Paul's life. He's just a bad dude. He's not doing anything for the Lord. Ananias, he's one that is following the Lord, and he's trying to do the best he knows how to do, and he's thinking, Lord, you're going to get me killed. But we think about Paul's life being changed, and we're going to see that it is. We just read that it is changed. But you stop and think about Ananias. His life was changed also, because he stepped out on faith. I mean, we can think and we can say whatever we want to think and say, but the truth is, when it requires a lot of faith to step out and work for the Lord, do we actually do it? Do we actually step up and say, yeah, Lord, I'll take on this little project you got going right here. I'm your man. No, we all cowered back. We all take a step backwards. Ananias took that step backwards, but he went on and he laid his hand upon Saul, and he healed him. Now, we see that when the scales fell off of his eyes, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon Paul, and Paul immediately desired to be baptized. Folks, when if you stop and you think about Paul, he had scales upon his eyes for 3 days. He was blind for 3 days. 3 days he had the opportunity to lay and to think about what was going on with him. God has knocked my eyes closed. He's closed them. And will he come back to open them? Will he come back? Can you just imagine what Paul was thinking during that time? I'm sure that there was a million thoughts going through his mind. But folks, what you got to think about is, when God blinds you or brings you to your knees, he will come back and he will receive you. He will heal you. He will bring you back to him. And that's what we always have to remember. If God done this, he will come back to make you whole again. But not only did the scales fall off of Paul's eyes, but Paul had been living with scales all over his heart, hadn't he? He had a hard heart. Paul's heart was wrong. It was totally wrong. And at this point, the Holy Spirit has moved in, and he is desiring to be baptized, and he was baptized, and the scales fell off of his heart just like they did his eyes, folks. And he began to know and to realize who Jesus really was. He began to know how much Jesus really loved him, and he desired to have this relationship with Jesus more and more. He went immediately and began to preach. You think, how did he do that? He didn't he had not really known about Jesus, but he told us in the reading of the pouring of the water, it was nothing that I learned from a human. It was all from God. And he said he had me, from the day I was born, set to bring this message to God's people. Folks, so many of us have something that God wants you to do. There is something that he has destined you to do. And I known for a long time before I decided that I would, that I should be talking to people about God. I didn't know what he really wanted me to do, but he had a plan for me, and I knew it was there. I just didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to live into it. I was kind of like Ananias. I'm good sitting in church. I'm good. I don't need to really get no deeper into this. And Lord, I really don't want to go on this deal, on this trip that you got lined up for me to go lay my hands on Saul and heal him. And so how many of us, if you stop and you think about it, how many of us are just like Ananias? We don't desire to move any further, any closer to the Lord. Our desire to do that is just, it's just basically talk with no action. I know how it is. I know what it's like. And so, folks, when we say that, yes, Lord, I desire to have this relationship with you, and I want it to grow, and I want you to use me. I want you to show me where I can step up and be in a better relationship with you. I want you to show me who I need to be talking to. And when he says, okay, you need to be over here in this part of town, and you say, well, I really don't want to be over there. I'll just talk to my people over here, because they don't wear clothes like I wear. They don't do the things that I do. They don't drive trucks like I drive. And so, folks, we see this. We see it. Now, it wasn't, Ananias wasn't because that he thought he was better than Paul. He was just scared of Saul. He was scared of what he might do to him. He said, you know, he has the authority to arrest me when I go there. And he can arrest me and have me chained and take me back to Jerusalem. I don't know, Lord. I don't know about this, but the Lord told Ananias, I'm telling you, I have chosen Saul to be my messenger, to take my word forward. And so we know that Ananias stepped up and went to Saul. And this was one of the biggest steps. When he got there, he said, Brother Saul. Now, you know, I'm always calling y'all brother so-and-so. Somebody asked me one day, why you call everybody brother? They are my brother. You know, I could call the preacher brother, and y'all would know what the deal was. But if I call Eddie brother, then, you know, there's a difference in Brian and Eddie, if the way you look at that. That's not true. They're both my brothers. Everybody's my brother in Christ. And that was what Ananias was saying to Saul. Brother Saul, he had accepted him. Because Ananias loved God, he also loved Saul. Because you can't love God without loving your brother. You can't love someone sitting beside you if you don't love God. It's a two-way street there, folks. But Jesus tells us that you have to love the Lord your God with all your soul, heart, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. So if you love God and you love him with all your heart and all your soul and your mind and all the things that he tells us that we should do, and we don't love our neighbor that's sitting right next to us, then what does that make us? I don't think I have to explain that to you. That's pretty self-explanatory. And so that's what we see today. We see, folks, people that's in church every Sunday. They want to be in church. They want to be seen. They want to be a part of something. But they do not want their relationship with the Lord to grow. They do not want to answer that call that God has on your life. I was there. I know. Nobody could write a book no more than I could about this call upon your life and doing everything in the world to get away from it. But folks, it's up to us. We're the ones. Individually. Mike, I'm the one that had to answer and had to build my relationship with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we have to stop and we have to ask ourselves when we think about our relationship, we think about how our relationship is with our neighbors. And he tells us that in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, that when we come to the table, that we are to examine ourselves. We are to think about ourselves. Where are we standing with our love for God and for our love for our fellow man? You know, Saul, which became Paul, he had to stop hating the people that loved Jesus and start loving everyone. Everyone. He had a job to do. He had to preach to everyone. He had to love everyone. He had to hug everybody's neck. He had to shake everybody's hand. He couldn't pick and choose. And what happened? The Jews turned on him. The people that had been his friends, they turned on him. What happens when you decide to follow Christ? Your friends, they turn on you. They leave you. You don't have friends anymore. A lot of your friends you had will not be your friend. That's okay. Let me tell you, that's okay. I know that too. It's more than okay. So you have to decide, if I follow Jesus, I'm going to have to love everyone. I can't think less about this person over here than I do this person over here. I have to think about them as being equal. And you know, it's been my experience, folks, and lots of times, the people I think that don't know anything about Jesus are the ones that's probably got a better relationship with Jesus than I do. So sometimes we judge people by the way they look, act, whatever. You know, you can tell when someone's not a follower of Christ. But a lot of times when we see someone, we automatically stamp them with a stamp of approval or disapproval. That's us. That's just us in our mind. And I want you to think about this morning, because this is where Ananias was with Paul. He had stamped him in his mind that I'm not having anything to do with this guy. But God says, yes, Ananias, he's with me. He's working for me now. You go. You touch him. You heal him. And make him whole. Isn't it wonderful, folks, that as we come to the table this morning, we have the opportunity to be made whole. We can come and partake of the bread and the wine, the body and the blood. Isn't that awesome that God, when Jesus knew that he was going to be leaving the disciples, he said, I want to leave you with something. You know, Jesus didn't have $1 million to give the disciples and tell them to break it up between you. He didn't have that. Besides that, he wouldn't have broke them up and just between the disciples. No way. He wanted to give everybody something. He wanted everybody to be treated equal. And today in the world that we live in, it's hard to find people that are treated equal and that treat other people equal. And so he's saying, Jesus was saying, I want to treat everyone equal. Everyone that comes to me and ask for forgiveness of sins has the same opportunity as the other one. And so he told the disciples, Brian, if you would, you come. And we'll bless this bread here just in a minute. But he told the disciples, he says, this is my body and this is my blood. So think about that as we bless the bread and the wine. Father, again, we come this morning. We thank you so, so much for the opportunity to come to the table, at your table through your Son, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you for that night that you were betrayed, that you took the bread and the wine and you made it your body and your blood. That is so awesome. It makes us feel so close that we can come and be partakers of that. But you also told us to bring our sins, to examine ourselves, and to before we come to that table. And Father, let each one of us ask forgiveness for everyone. And Father, we just thank you, we praise you, and as we come to the table, Lord Jesus, let it be that we just feel your presence and your grace poured out upon us. And we ask each and everything in Jesus' name.